how much shit do B2B marketers love to talk when it comes to Google Ads and paid search in general? And they don't know what they don't know. And then we're about to show it them. Like, how often does that happen?
I think most B2Bs are wasting at least 50%. 50%? Yeah.
All right.
I think we could go into the average, not every account. Like, if you've got a killer paid media team, then cool. If not, I would say we could go into the probably 8 out of 10 B2B accounts and save 50% of spend.
Got the right ingredients for revenue growth. A pinch of effort and a dash of hope won't cut it anymore. Grab your utensils. You're about to get some high-performing marketing recipes. Welcome to Client Boost Kitchen.
So take us through what we're going to learn today.
Cool. So what we're going to learn today, number one, the most expensive paid search mistakes that B2Bs make and how to avoid them. We're also going to give you a simple, effective campaign structure for capturing demand efficiently. This is based on the exact same campaign structure that we use for our own ads channels. So we know that it works. And we're also going to show you how to choose the most profitable bid strategies and conversion actions to slash wasted spend.
Cool. I love it. Take us through it.
So number one, the first most common mistake that we see, and this is where most of the wasted spend can be found, is that B2Bs are just massively overcomplicating their account structure. So we'll go into the average account and there's 20 different campaigns and most of them are one, poorly optimized, but two, the other problem is I think just way too many B2Bs are trying to use paid search to create demand, which is just not its superpower. It's pretty terrible at creating demand. What it's really good at is capturing demand. So when you want to save a ton of budget, what you do is you just simplify your account structure and use Google Ads exclusively for capturing demand. And then you reinvest that spend that you've saved either into capturing more demand or into other channels that are just better suited for actually creating demand.
I think some easy 1-2 punches that we've seen again and again is arbitrary budget dollar amounts or currency amounts that are set, right? And then no CRM data inside, so no offline conversion tracking or what they call offline conversion import, OCT, OCI. And then lastly, if you have impression share as a metric you can pull up and things are performing well in certain campaigns, but you're not giving it as much budget as you possibly can to get more volume from it, that happens way too many times as well too. So it's not even super technical, this kind of stuff. It's just like some simple fundamentals that a lot of people are missing.
So the other most common mistake, and this is kind of expanding on that idea that most B2Bs are trying to do too much with Google Ads and they're trying to create demand with Google Ads. What we see a lot, especially in the paid search campaigns that are wasting budget, is a lot of focus on these kind of low ROI keywords that the 95% of your audience that is out market are searching. So these keywords are generally like informational or educational, and they typically would be searched by your ICP. So if you think, say you're, I don't know, a B2B CRM company, somebody who's searching for what is a CRM, for example, is potentially going to be a good fit for your product, but there's zero buying intent in that keyword. And the likelihood that that's going to convert in the next 2 years is very, very slim. And the likelihood that they're even going to remember that one blog that they read 2 years ago when it comes time to make that purchase decision is also very, very slim. And so these campaigns just tend to be very, very, very low ROAS, or even often just no ROAS.
Yeah. It's also interesting because most B2B companies that we talk to, we see their ad accounts, they treat all conversions as the same, right? Because they don't have any offline conversion tracking or offline conversion import. And so they get these false signals that those informational keywords or PMAX or display actually perform well for them. But if you actually look further down funnel, they wouldn't. And that's a big lacking aha moment that they don't have because they haven't made that investment to create that plumbing, that infrastructure for tracking.
100%. And we ran, because I personally have had, I've been trying to force PMAX to work for B2Bs for a long time. And so I recently ran a 90-day experiment on the Client Boost ad account to see if even with sending it, the healthiest signals, can we make this work? And what we saw over 90 days, which for us, that's potentially like either one sales cycle or verging on like 1.5, you know, sales cycles worth of time. We saw a decent amount of lead volume, even an okay amount of MQL volume, but there were just zero opportunities and zero closed ones. So for us, it's just, if we didn't have that offline conversion tracking data in place, we would think that PMax was performing really well for us.
We would put more budget there because it was probably cheaper cost per conversion than our other one campaigns, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. But because we have offline conversion tracking in place, what we can actually see is that time and time again, the campaigns that perform the best from a demand capture perspective are the keywords that fall into what we call the safety zone. So these are the keywords that the 5% of your audience that's in market will actively be searching. And these keywords typically are transactional in nature. So they have some form of declared intent. So it'll typically be either, you know, a category or a product capability term. So I'll come back to the CRM example. If somebody's searching, you know, CRMs for B2B, you could place a pretty strong bet that that's somebody that's in market because of how specific that search term is. And then if they were had to maybe search for something even more specific, like B2B CRM with lead scoring, where they kind of add that modifier at the end that's a product capability. Again, it really shows, okay, there's a pretty strong signal here that somebody has some buying intent. And so again, what we see when we go after those transactional keywords is it's typically much more expensive from a cost per lead perspective, but the conversion rate downfall is much higher. And you know, there's right. Some keywords we have that are hyper specific like that, where the cost per lead is really, really high, but the cost per customer is not much different from the cost per lead because the conversion rate between stages is so high. Cool. So sticking on the topic of offline conversion tracking, this again is another mistake that we see time and time again. So like number one, companies just aren't sending their CRM data back into the platform. The problem this causes is that if you have low quality leads and you're only using a lead form submission as your primary conversion action, Google is essentially creating a profile of what it thinks a best fit prospect is for you based on poor quality data. So what you need to do is as soon as possible. So typically when you get to the point of a pipeline stage is around 15 conversions a month. So when you get to 15 MQLs a month, 15 SQLs, Google has enough data to actually build a profile based on a better quality signal. And what that means is, especially in high demand areas, is that Google's going to start prioritizing showing your ads to prospects who are a better match for your company. And again, what we see typically is that by moving the conversion action down funnel like this, you can actually over time start decreasing customer acquisition costs pretty significantly.
And this is 15 conversion actions for the entire account, right? Per month. It's not per campaign or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. Per account.
Love it.
Nice. So how do we combat all of these mistakes? The best way to do it is with that simplified account structure that I kind of alluded to a little bit earlier. So for us, we really just have four primary campaigns. So we have a brand campaign that's targeting all of our brand keywords. This is not relevant for every business, by the way. For us, we just have 7,000 competitors bidding on our brand name. So we would definitely lose customers if we didn't have a brand campaign live. And I know this because we sneakily steal customers from the competitor campaigns that we launch when people are searching for our competitors.
So we assume it works for our competitors as well too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Maybe that's a gross assumption to make, and we should probably run some incrementality.
I mean, they've been running their campaigns against us for a while. So unless they're just terrible marketers, which we'd love to think, they would probably have pulled the plug a while ago.
Yeah, exactly. So the next one, and I would argue this is the most important because this is where the lowest hanging fruit is the in-market campaign. So I think the in-market campaign is really just, there's two ways to run it. So the foundational way to run it is to just get a collection of high intent keywords. You can use a tool like Ahrefs, for example, which is going to tell you which words are transactional and which words are informational. You can use that to start out. But the way that we actually run this is we have transformed this into what we call an all-star campaign. So we've analyzed from 2023 to 2024, which search terms drove the highest number of closed won deals for us. And then we push like, I don't know, probably 70 to 75% of our budget at this point to those in-market keywords, because that's where we get the highest return. And then the final two campaigns that we have is a competitor campaign. Again, with the brand and the competitor campaigns, you really need to experiment with these. In some categories, the competitor campaign just won't work. For whatever reason, people choose who they think is the best beforehand and are just not interested in exploring a different solution. Same thing with the brand campaign. If competitors aren't bidding against you, it doesn't make sense to have it. And then the final one there is just a retargeting campaign. So two ways to do this. One is to just take all of your highest performing ad groups across brand, in market, and competitor, put them all into a retargeting campaign that retargets high intent customers. And then what you can also do here is you can actually open up your search term match type targeting as well to broad, because you've kind of got like a pre-quality filter with the retargeting audience layer that you've put on that.
Yeah, no, this is super in-depth. Obviously, within Google natively, there is no like ICP filtering like there is on LinkedIn from retargeting perspective as well too. So when we say high intent, I'm assuming you're meaning certain page visits or things like that that show a higher level of intent than like a random blog post visit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you're thinking, okay, so on the B2B side, that's going to be maybe specific product feature pages. That's going to be pricing page visits. That's
demo page, things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, cool.
And I would also add something that we do as well is we'll use a tool like DreamData, for example, to take existing pipeline and actually push that data back into this campaign group too. And I think for me, that's another mistake, not even just in paid search, but just in general that B2Bs make, is they have somebody in pipeline and they immediately want to remove them from all targeting. And I'm like, that's the hottest prospect.
Yeah.
You should be showing them why you're the best choices after
case studies or whatnot. And again, if like the audience is big enough for that as well too, but definitely don't exclude it yet. Your job is not done. You haven't closed the deal yet.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think one final thing I would put here as well on the retargeting layer. So I mentioned earlier about, you know, simplifying the account, remove those PMAX campaigns, those demand gen campaigns, those YouTube campaigns. It's definitely worth experimenting with some display retargeting. So high intent display retargeting. We've run some correlation tests at Client Boost and typically do see some correlation between higher pipeline conversion rates and having display retargeting switched on.
Yeah, I think there's like a default mindset we have right now, like with Reddit ads or Meta ads retargeting wise, like just it's so cheap, have it on, be everywhere all at once if you can, because it just it's a memory recall game at the end of the day as well too, right? So okay, cool.
Yeah, you know, we spend like $1,500 a month on that and get somewhere in the region of like 80% audience penetration. It's insane numbers. So
yeah.
Cool. So final thing here is budget distribution. So you can see here, these are very loose numbers and you'll need to adjust this based kind of on your own, on the performance of your own campaigns. But typically we'll say brands can be anywhere from 0 to 40% of the budget. And this really just depends on how competitive the space that you're operating is.
If you have to spend 40% of your budget on brand, my hope is that your budget as a whole gets bigger as well too, because that's, you have a pretty strong brand. If, I mean, I guess it also depends, like if you're just trying to dip your toe in the water and not do anything but brand really, then like that's a pretty high percentage, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So on the in-market side, I've put here 40 to 60%, but to be honest, that's more like a starting point and you can actually push that much further. So I mentioned earlier for Client Boost, ads is probably more in the region of 70 to 75% at this point. And I even was working with one of our account managers on a case study recently where they put 90% into that all-star in-market campaign, which is absolutely insane. And this is actually—
But makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, and this is triggering something else for me that I think is important for us to touch on here is, you know, one thing I'm seeing a lot of, you mentioned paid search is taking a lot of heat, especially in the like LinkedIn B2B zeitgeist at the moment. And the idea is that 80% of B2B decision makers have already decided their top three before they go to make a decision. So when they have a tool in mind, for example, they base it on the first tool that comes to mind.
Right.
That still leaves 20% that haven't already made their mind up. And so I think a lot of B2Bs will see that statistic and think, oh, okay, well, we need to optimize brand. We don't need to optimize paid search. But actually, you really can make those in-market campaigns work really, really well. And that, especially with bigger audience sizes, that 20% can be pretty significant. You know, if you've got 500K TAM, that's like 100,000 people potentially.
Yeah, no, it's huge.
Cool. And then final two there for competitive campaigns, again, around 10 to 20% of your budget there. They will be a little bit more expensive. And again, you just want to base this on how that performs too, because with competitive campaigns, similar to those, some of the top of funnel keywords, they can often be good at the like lead gen, so form submissions stage, but not as good at converting to pipeline. So just need to be cautious with that. And then finally, honestly, with retargeting, because it's such a smaller audience, you can get away with lower budget allocation there. So recommending about 10%.
CPCs are cheaper too, usually. Cool.
Exactly. So that is everything on paid search. So a few tactical takeaways for you guys. The number one, most important one, if you don't remember anything from this podcast, remember this. Paid search definitely works best for demand capture. And that's especially for newer advertisers with limited budgets. So if you've got VC funding that's happy to just pump loads of budget into multiple channels to just, you know, do the surround sound play, fine, you know, go crazy. But most of
us can probably still be more efficient, but go ahead.
yeah, exactly. If you're happy to waste money, that's fine. Yeah. So I would say make sure to use keyword match types and conversion actions to improve inbound lead quality. So on anything that's not
and get that offline conversion tracking, invest in that like ASAP.
It's so easy as well, right? Like if you have Salesforce or you have HubSpot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need to be like, I don't know.
You could probably get pretty far just trying to like do the self-serve wizard kind of thing within Google. No hate against our own team internally as well too, but just see how far you can take it and get it done. Cause there's so many that don't have it. It's so crazy.
Yeah. It's honestly, it's such a low hanging fruit. Yeah. And then also another one, I see so many companies that have like TCPA and TROAS bid strategies when they have 5 conversions a month. Don't do that. There's no point. There's not enough data to make that work for you. Yeah. I would honestly say only switch to TCPA and TROAS bid strategies once you've maxed out search impression share. That's the only time it really makes sense, because what the main max conversions algorithm is going to do, it's just going to look to maximize the number of conversions you get based on the primary conversion action that you set. So if that's a good primary conversion action like MQL, SQL, if you're lucky enough, even closed one, that's going to be a way better strategy than switching to TCPA or TROAS.
Yeah. No, super tactical recipe. Hope people can use it as well too. Excited to bring you more stuff that we're cooking up in the kitchen. I appreciate you, Pat. Cheers. Bye.